Dr. Buschmaker, thank you so much for allowing us to take over your day here for Galesburg in Focus.
Hey, no problem. Pleasure to be here.
So April, National Foot Awareness Month. What would you say, as a podiatrist and surgeon, what would you say is the most important thing that you would want people to be aware of when we're thinking of Foot Awareness Month?
Well, the thing is, we only get one set of our feet and our toes, so we want to make sure we do everything right so we can save them. It's not unheard of. They say it's about 20% of the folks across the country will at some point have a foot problem and need to see a doctor. So really important to just be keenly aware that if anything's going on with your foot, you better come in and get checked out. Absolutely.
Your foot is the source of a lot of people's pain and affects other things in your body, correct?
Yeah, so, you know, the old song is adequate. Foot bone's connected to the ankle bone, knee bone, all the way up. So if you start having problems down there and we don't have a good base, fundamental base, I can start causing other problems more proximally or you know, closer to the main part of the body. Obviously, sometimes the foot being out on the extremity, people don't think about it being there, but it is a major, major player to your health. If you have diabetes, for instance, there are so many things that can go wrong, especially with the foot. It's just really, really going to be important that you get in and get checked out and screened out, because some things we can prevent, obviously, and then sometimes when things go wrong, there are some bad things that happen, again, particularly with diabetes.
Yeah. 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 Well, so what are some of those things that people would need to see a podiatrist for?
Yeah, so I think number one, again, if you're diabetic, you got to at least be seen every year for just a general foot screening. If you're diabetic and you get a scratch, you know, those scratches can turn to ulcers. Those ulcers turn into infections real quick. So if you have a wound that hasn't healed in probably 2 or 3 days, you really need to at least contact your primary care. The one thing I love about OSF is I've got all the primary care cell phones. They've got my cell phone, so if you can just get seen, like I said, they can refer you to me, and I'm always within reach. We'll get you taken care of.
But, no, I know we'll get into this a little bit deeper, but when you say, you know, you need to have your feet looked at if you're diabetic once a year, is that just for older people, or is that like
that
anybody?
Really, really should be for any diabetic, because even a type 1 diabetic, they've been getting told, you know, to see podiatrists, you know, since they were diagnosed really, really young.
Yeah.
When you're diabetic, if you're not well controlled, let's start with that. If you're not well controlled, when you start getting neuropathy and not being able to feel things, that's when things can go really haywire. But even that said, just a good cursory annual diabetic foot check, just to try to be preventative, is very, very much something being on that proactive side that people should be doing.
Some other things that you'd need to see a podiatrist for?
Yeah, so I'm one of a more general podiatrist, and what I mean by that is I can see a lot of things. So bunions, hammer toes, ingrown toenails. You're out a weekend warrior golfing, playing basketball, and you tweak your Achilles, or you develop some plantar fasciitis. There's really not a lot that I can't do. And if it is above my pay grade, I've got a good referral source that I can at least get you headed in the right direction.
Yeah. And you do foot surgeries here. What are the most common things that you're doing?
Yeah, so unfortunately, from a diabetes standpoint, we do have to mention that A word, an amputation.
Yeah.
But certainly we do, you know, corrective surgeries, bunions, again, bunion correction, hammer toes. Plantar fascia releases, if unfortunately we can't get that plantar fascia, you know, treated conservatively. So we do a lot of surgeries, fusions for arthritis. There's some bone spur stuff with the Achilles that we do. Like I said, just all around general podiatrist.
Yeah, now you're also with the Wound Care Center in Monmouth too. And of course that's so closely related to the diabetic issues.
Yeah, so it took a little while, but we finally got our wound center going. We're probably, I think we're on year two now, and it's just been a godsend. It really has.
You have a passionate group over there. I interviewed them, I think it was last year, and they really are passionate for what they do
over there. Yeah, so the thing about wounds is just about, well, almost every amputation probably starts and ends with a wound. And so if we can get that wound healed up, and save you, you know, that having that procedure, that admission to the hospital, you know, the IV antibiotics, you know, that there are things with, well, antibiotics aren't benign, right? We can, yeah, we can end up, unfortunately, you know, blowing out somebody's kidneys and now they're on dialysis. So we got to get that wound healed. And thankfully my team at the wound clinic, we're really good. I mean, I about as humble as I can say it. But with the total contact cast and just the stuff that we can do at the wound center, we just have more, I should say, better access to things that we can do to help people heal. Yeah.
And during National Foot Awareness Month, I would think that one of your biggest messages you could say is take care of, like you were just saying, take care of things early, address things as early as possible. You've got a better chance of, well, in the worst case, saving your foot.
Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, you know, some we'll probably veer off a little bit. Yeah. So, we'll as we kind of talk about amputations, there are some. Yeah. Obviously, it's springtime. Lawnmowers are coming out. The weed eaters are coming out. So there are times where we have those kind of incidences, yeah, and those ones are unavoidable. But with diabetes, it really starts with two things. You got to control your diabetes. You got to keep your A1C, you know, below 7. Get that to goal. Mm. And of course, smoking. We could go on and on about how bad smoking is. But you smoke. You're diabetic. It is a ticking time bomb because you get that plaque building up in those arteries, and if I don't have blood, we're in trouble.
Yeah, Dr. Bushmaker, let's take a step back and let's talk about you. Where are you from?
So I'm born in Ohio. My grandfather made me an Ohio State Buckeye. So Dr. Whittle and I do have some battles every now and then at the hospital. But so I'm a Buckeye through and through.
I saw you're also a Packers fan too.
But I am raised in Wisconsin. So so that you know, when you come and see me, like I said, you can make fun of me. It's okay. I'm a cheesehead, diehard cheesehead. Heck, my wife Kristen and I, we actually own stock. We're technically NFL owners, so yeah.
Yes.
So,
had you always wanted to get into medicine all your life?
So I really did, actually. And initially, it was going to be pediatrician, I thought maybe I would end up. I actually really struggled with ingrown nails, and I have flat feet as a kid, and saw Dr. Martin up in Wisconsin, and he took care of me. And when it came time to pick a specialty, I just kind of called him up and said, "Hey," he said, "Hey, yeah, don't forget about the feet. It's a nice job. It's you get to see people. You can usually make them better, like again, kind of ingrown nail. You come in with ingrown nail, I can numb that up, cut that out, and you're gonna be feeling better within a couple hours,
like instant relief, almost. Yes, yeah, right."
It's a good job. And the most important part about it is, I'm not getting called at 3 o'clock in the morning to crack somebody's chest with a heart attack or something like that. Yeah. So I do get to sleep most of the time.
What did you like about the way the doctor that you talked to about the way he practiced? Did you say, you know what? I really like the way he approached his.
So I would say as a whole podiatrist, we tend to be some of the most compassionate doctors, I think, on end. I mean, it's the ability to just sit and talk and listen and see what's really truly bothering this person. And then, again, ability to really change things in a very short manner of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you went to school in Wisconsin?
So I graduated high school in Wisconsin. Okay. I did my medical, or I should say, let me back up. I did my undergraduate at Ohio State.
Okay.
I then went and did my medical over in Iowa at Des Moines University.
Right.
And then I went back and did my surgical training back at Ohio State at the medical center there. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then how long have you been here at OSF?
I have been here now since January of 2016, I believe, was my first year.
How did you make your way to us here in West Central Illinois?
Well, so again, I was a Midwest guy. I was actually in practice out in Virginia before that. My in-laws live over in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, and when the opportunity presented itself and we could see on the map how close we were to La Crosse and Mount Pleasant, it just made sense, yeah.
What do you still like about this? I know you've talked a little bit about it here, but what do you still like about what you've been doing all these years?
I think it's, like I said, it's a culmination of, you know, you get to do some medicine side of things and then some surgery. So, And like I said, just the ability to make people better as best I can.
Yeah. So when you say surgery, we're not just talking removing an ingrown toenail. We're talking about, you know, your amputations and everything. But
yeah. There's the reconstructive side of things. Like I said, you know, somebody's got a painful bunion. some hammer toe contractures, fractures, even ankle fractures. Mm. I do ankle fracture care. So, there's not a lot that we can't help you with that goes wrong with the foot.
You get into sports medicine too.
Sports medicine side of things, plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendon problems, all that stuff. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing to work on if you were?
I think it's probably a bunion, quite honestly.
Okay.
To see someone be able to walk just a little bit better after you straighten that toe and get them back, walking a lot more efficiently, it's pretty rewarding. Yeah.
We can jump ahead and talk about what is a bunion. I mean, it's that bump on the side of your toe. That's what I see.
Yeah. But. So, we'll clarify a couple. I think there's a lot of misconception about a bunion being this calcium deposit that just needs to be shaved, but it actually is this structural deformity, this literal dislocation, if you will, of your big toe over the course of time. And so it's not as easy as just shaving the bump down. There's you got to put some thought into it when you're rebuilding that, because you are physically relocating the joint.
I've seen those videos on YouTube where they cut that bone and then push that, it's out of alignment, and then you put it back into alignment and put a screw. I mean, is that what you're doing? Put screws in?
Exactly. Screws, plates, whatever, what it takes, staples, whatever it would take. But, I jokingly say to the patients, I said, I always get to have fun because I'm playing with power tools in that OR. They're having a great nap, of course, but, you are literally physically changing the structure of the foot.
And doctor, maybe this speaks to a bigger issue, but you think of a bunion, I think a lot of people just think that they have to live with it forever. They don't know that they could have a better life, quality of life.
Yep. And now I'll preface it with, just because you have a bunion doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to be fixed.
Okay.
I mean, I don't fix things that don't cause pain or alter your lifestyle through for some odd reason, I always default to bowling as my example. If somebody's bowling and they can't bowl anymore because their bunion hurts too much, well, then, we're going to fix that for you. But again, just because somebody has something, though, too, I don't want to, paint the picture that I'm just gung-ho surgery kind of thing.
Yeah, but isn't that a sad thing that people who, say, doing things that they love, and then suddenly they can't do it anymore because it's so painful, but they just think, well, that's just my life.
Yeah, yep, and if that's you out there listening, by all means, give us a call. We can fix you up, absolutely.
Absolutely. We're talking with Dr. Bushmaker. He is a podiatrist and surgeon with OSF Healthcare, St. Mary Medical Center, and Holy Family Medical Center over in Monmouth. We're talking about different foot issues during Foot Health Awareness Month. And you mentioned plantar fasciitis. This seems like one of the more broad things. I've had this myself. Could you talk more about that? When I think of plantar fasciitis, I think of the plantar warts that people can get, but that's not what that is.
No, that's totally different things. Yeah. Plantar wart is actually kind of a viral infection of the skin that just causes a lump, if you will.
And it grows up into your foot.
And it can grow, exactly. Now, plantar fasciitis, the really simplistic version of it is it's nothing more than a form of tendonitis. It just happens to be on the sole of your foot. And so I always tell people, like, look, if it was your elbow, your wrist, you're going to rest it, you're going to ice it down, it's going to, probably feel better because you're getting off it, you're not using it, and you can find ways to get around that. But when it's the sole of your foot, you're walking on it, so it does make it a lot harder to get rid of. But at its heart, it is just this chronic inflammation of a ligament that's in the sole of your foot.
It is so painful.
Very painful. Yeah.
My gosh, I can remember hobbling, thinking, I don't know if this is ever going to go away.
Yeah, thankfully, I would say probably 97% of the folks, the plantar fasciitis should go away with conservative care. Okay. Very rarely does it come to doing the surgical release. We got, physical therapy, corticosteroid injections, anti-inflammatories, massage therapy. There's ultrasound therapy where we actually use an ultrasound machine to kind of give you a subsonic massage, if you will, to work that inflammation off the ligament. So
I've seen some products online where they you can't see this on radio, but it bends your foot back.
Yeah, a night splint.
A night splint. Okay.
I'm torn on those.
Okay.
And They're really good. They're going to help maintain that stretching, you know, that you really got to keep that fascia band stretched out. But, boy, they look cumbersome, and I don't know how anybody would be able to sleep in that at night sometimes. Like I said, I'm a little bit torn on the night splint. Yeah.
How do you know that you've got – that you need to see someone when your foot pain is bad enough?
For plantar fasciitis, for instance, if you're having some heel pain that's lasted more than 2-3 weeks, I'd definitely give us a call. Yeah, because, like I said, it should be something that should get better pretty quick. Yeah, mm-hmm. And if it lingers – and as actually probably 2-3 weeks is probably a good thing. Even ankle sprain, for instance, you know, a lot of people – the weather's getting nice. We're going to be out there doing yard work, and you step in a gopher hole or something, and you sprain that ankle.
Yeah.
Like I said, if it's not better in 2-3 weeks with that traditional rest and ice and compression, it's time to come see somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Jeremiah Bushmaker is our guest here on Galesburg in Focus. We're taking over his time here at OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center here in Galesburg. You're at the former building you used to be, where PromCare used to be here. And on the east side, your office is on there. Is that correct? Your office is on the east side of the building?
Yeah, we're on the side away from the golf course. I think they did that on purpose so I can't stare out the window.
That's right. We're talking about Foot Health Awareness Month. And let's get to heel pain. We talked about plantar fasciitis. Heel pain, what are we talking about here? That can be a lot of different things, obviously.
It can. So probably by far the most common is going to be the plantar fascia.
Yeah.
Probably next most common is just the Achilles, actually. And so just like the plantar fascia gets overworked, overstretched, overused, so can the Achilles. And again, generally speaking, again, conservative stuff works really well for that. Again, rest, ice, sometimes, again, physical therapy, all those different modalities for those soft tissue things. It's really... really hard to get a stress fracture in the heel bone. Again, it's been known to happen. Obviously, fractures from falls can cause some heel pain and stuff. But generally speaking, it's more soft tissue stuff with the heel, yeah.
Walking barefoot outside, I mean, you probably, as a podiatrist, do you not recommend?
No. Barefoot and sandals, specifically thong sandals, those keep me in business. There's no doubt about it.
I have heard that a lot, that podiatrists, when you mention flip-flops, boy, Crocs.
Flip-flops are maybe good, you know, if you're a college student going to that and going to your shared dorm dormitory shower. But other than that, flip-flops are really bad business.
I'll tell you, when I got my plantar fasciitis, it was during COVID, after I'd been sitting on my rear end for a couple months, and my wife and I went for a walk, and I wore Crocs.
Yeah, so
it killed my feet.
Yeah, that's why we kind of call them an overuse injury, right?
Yeah,
like you said, you know, we're coming up on springtime, and again, I think it's probably why they chose April as the foot month, because now everybody's kind of coming out of hibernation, and you just have that tendency to overdo it and overstretch, and overplay your hand, so to speak.
Yeah,
and things just get inflamed. Yeah.
So when we talk about the heel pain, the plantar fasciitis, is there anything to making sure your Achilles tendon, that back of your leg, is stretched?
Yeah.
Maybe doing some of those stretching exercises.
So there's a lot of evidence out there. Plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendonitis, and hamstring injuries, actually all three kind of go hand in hand. And so one of the things I'll tell folks is I don't need you to be a yoga master. But everybody should be stretching every day.
Yeah, it's got to make you feel, not just make you feel better, but it's going to help keep things loose.
100%.
Right. Yep. So when we're talking about the heel and the bottom of your foot, you know, we mentioned these plantar warts. Those are I've had one years ago, so painful.
Yeah, so warts and calluses, like I said, usually I'll have people mistaken one for the other. And again, when you come see us, we'll be able to differentiate between just a more traditional callus and a wart. But it's literally that hyperkeratosis or hardening of the skin that causes that pain because you're walking on a rock now. Yeah.
Mm, I love, we talked about this offline, but I love watching videos about foot surgeries and taking care of those things. Calluses, do you just shave it?
Just shave it down, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
corns and all of those things?
Yeah, so sometimes we can trace it back to a deformity. For instance, a lot of folks that have bunions will have a callus maybe on the inside of their big toe.
Okay.
And so we can actually, fix the callus by fixing the bunion. Same thing with hammer toes and those corns that people get. You can actually address the deformity, and that'll stop that rub. Some calluses, though, about the only thing we can do is just routinely shave them down.
Shave it right down.
Just shave it right down the office.
I love watching the videos, and when they remove that little centerpiece of that corn.
Core.
And when you see that tiny core, you think that's what's been causing all this. But it's amazing how a tiny little thing can cause so much pain.
Like almost like a needle point. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yep. It's like the fairy tale of the princess and the pea.
Princess and the pea. Yeah.
Tiny pea on the bottom of all those. Yeah. So what do you suggest for people as far as like planters, warts, those kids? Is there any way to prevent that?
I mean,
that's more of a virus. That's a bacterial.
I think it's like I said, it's a virus. And, and again, it's something usually we can trace back to like a pool. Gymnastic mats, wrestling mats, all that stuff is kind of a harbinger, and so usually you'll trace a wart back to something along those lines. Locker rooms, you know, that kind of stuff.
So make sure you're wearing proper footwear. Yep.
Same thing with athletes' foot. You know, like I said, just if you're going to those places, really dry real good. You know, to wash your feet when you wash them, dry them real good. Maybe a little talcum powder, just anything you can do to keep them a little drier. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you've got people who work jobs to where their feet are going to be very sweaty.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to make sure you're changing your socks.
Even bringing a second pair of socks. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And changing your socks out during the day. Something simple like that can be very, very effective. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Dr. Bushmaker, we're going to get into one of my favorite topics. And it's like a pastime of mine. When I'm feeling anxious, anxiety, I don't go for green tea and sip that, maybe watch a Hallmark movie. I turn on YouTube and I pull up ingrown toenail removal videos. It is fascinating, sir.
Everybody's got a thing, I guess. So.
There's something about it. You mentioned this earlier, and I think I know what this is. It's that instant relief that people have. You're like a wizard, a magician.
Yeah, so I guess like I kind of mentioned earlier, it's one of those things, you know, okay, you got high blood pressure. Here's some medicine. Come back and see me in a month. We'll see if it's working.
Yeah.
Here in this particular case, you got this ingrown nail. We numb you up. We remove that corner. Get that pressure released. You're numb. No, so you're good for a couple hours there just because you're numb. But, as soon as that numbing medicine wears off, it's like a brand-new toe.
Yeah, so let's talk. What actually causes ingrown toenails?
I will submit that I think probably a majority of the nails, ingrown nails, are going to be genetics. I really think there's a genetic component to how our nails grow. Can't prove it, but I really think there's a familial trait there. The other probably most common thing is just simply actually trimming your nails too short. I can't tell you how many patients come in and I'm just looking and I go, man, that one's cut just a little too short.
Yeah.
So you do want to actually probably leave your nail a little longer than you think you should. Certainly cleats, a lot of narrow shoes that kind of mold the skin. That's another real common reason why somebody gets an ingrown nail. And like I said, I know a lot of people are tempted to try to do their own trimming and cutting out, the old bathroom surgery, if you will. Really don't recommend that because, again, you're going to take some dirty stuff and embed it in your toe. So much better to have me come do it and let's do some sterile stuff,
Oh, I've seen some angry looking toes.
They can get pretty ugly.
My gosh. I normally only see it on the big toe. Do they happen on other toes, too?
It can.
But mostly on the big toe,
on the big toe.
Yeah.
Mostly on the big toe. And the problem with the littler toenails is because that nail bed just isn't as wide. Mm-hmm. Usually end up having to remove the whole nail on those little toes when it happens on the little toes. So.
And I'm digging into this a little bit more, but I see when they cut that ingrown toenail out and you pull it out, there's a little hook a lot of times, little hook about halfway down that piece that they cut out.
Yep.
It's getting caught on the skin inside? Is that what's...
Yeah, so when they get infected, to the point where they're all red and swollen, like I said, the stuff that you see online, normally it's because that nail has now cut the skin and now bacteria that normally should be on the outside of our skin is now on the inside and now it's trapped and festers and creates the actual more infected ingrown than rather just pain from the pressure of the ingrown. Mm. Yeah.
And
that's when antibiotics, sometimes we got to do some antibiotics.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And when it's really bad, I've seen this, I can't remember what this surgery is called, but I've seen them cut the skin from both sides of the toe. What is that, sir?
It's like Winograd. We call it Winograd procedure where you actually got to cut and wedge out some of the skin too, because it's grown so far up and over the nail. That's correct.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's just Oof. And I see people, it's another one of these things that people wait too long, don't they?
It is, because, yeah, you kind of, when somebody's sitting in your chair, you're just like, how long has it been like that? And then they give you that, oh, like 3 weeks, and you're just like, whoa, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to wait that long.
I wouldn't be able to wait that long. Yeah. Dr. Jeremiah Bushmaker is a podiatrist and surgeon for OSF St. Mary Medical Center and Holy Family Medical Center over in Monmouth. And so, male, female, who has the most ingrown toenails?
Actually, I think probably 50-50.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know when you talked about maybe tight shoes. Yeah. I thought, you know, women who wear high heels and those.
Yeah, yeah, but like I said, I think it's balanced out by, you know, cleats and stuff like that. So,
right.
Yeah, so.
So is it – and then I guess you put on top of an ingrown toenail, if you're a diabetic – how dangerous now?
Yeah,
right?
so that, like I said, yeah, you know, we'll spend some time here now with diabetes. I think is probably a good thing, and because, like I said, it's not just blood sugar control. When you get an infection, and these days, and part of it might be, you know, from our own perspective, a doctor perspective, just handing out antibiotics and creating the resistance that we see a lot now anymore. Yeah. With these infections. But if you get an infection and that thing is raging and we just can't get rid of it with the antibiotics, unfortunately, it can mean bad things. And that bad thing, obviously, the end stage would be an amputation. At minimum, you know, we're doing some kind of IND where we're washing you out in the OR, just trying to wash out that foot, wash out the pus, wash out the bad. But again, sometimes when that infection is just too rampant, too extreme, it leads to us having to have, quite frankly, the worst discussion I have to have with patients, and that is removing a part of your body. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just got to be devastating for these people, especially when it's something that they may have been able to prevent.
Yeah, so I think I've been doing, like I said, I've been here since 2016.
Yeah.
But I've actually been a podiatrist for 20 years now, hard to believe. Just refining how you break that news to someone, and unfortunately sometimes what I've learned is that just sometimes just being blunt and you just got to be straightforward. You know, things to on the preventive side of things, if you're smoking and you're diabetic, like I said, it will be only a matter of time, it seems, before you and I are going to come face to face and have a real tough discussion.
So why is the smoking amplify things so much when it comes to diabetic ulcers and that?
Yep. So with smoking, it has more to do with what it does to your vascular, your blood flow, your circulation side of things. The diabetes affects the nerve side of things, so you don't really feel it. You don't feel it, but at the same time, if you don't have blood coursing through those arteries, it's hard for things to heal. It's hard for you to get better. Yeah. Mm. And so just I'm not, you know, smoking is just bad. Lung cancer, stroke, heart attack. It's not just what it does to my particular specialty. It's just bad.
Yeah.
Can't reiterate enough.
Yeah. And we talked about this earlier. If you have diabetes, it's good to get annual foot checkups.
Yep. It really is. Cause like I said, if we can be proactive and be out in front of it, it is going to save us a lot of wear and tear. It really is. And, again, kind of along the lines of diabetes, and sometimes I overshare. I'm diabetic myself, actually, so I do know just how hard it is to oh, man, I really want a cookie today or this, that, and the other thing. So I do know the struggle myself. It is very hard to do the right thing sometimes, but doing the right thing, not smoking, and checking your feet out and having those regular visits, it will be well worth it.
So when you're doing your daily foot inspections, what are you looking for?
So you're looking for, is there like a hot spot? And what I mean by that, is there a spot that maybe, we see a callus, or is it a little bit redder? You know, you take your shoes off and you're looking down, and you're like, boy, that toe just looks really red, inflamed. You know, it just looks like something is going on there. For folks that maybe can't see the bottom of their foot, one of the things we always tell people is, get a little hand mirror, put it on the ground, and just kind of hover that foot over that mirror so you can see that sole to make sure, you know, you didn't step on something or again, calluses, warts, all that stuff,
And again, it seems kind of strange for those of us who don't have neuropathy, but if you do, you know, it seems strange that we wouldn't recognize a hole in our foot or a wound there, but if you have neuropathy, you don't feel it.
So neuropathy, there's such a wide variance too, because there are the folks that like complete neuropathy, and what I mean by that is they don't feel anything. Yeah, they could walk on hot coals, have a red hot poker go right through their foot, and they'd be just talking like we're talking now, midstream, not feeling a thing.
Yeah.
And then there are some patients who have neuropathy, unfortunately, that is very, almost like oversensitive, which sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around that. Well, if the nerves aren't working, I don't understand why my feet are so sensitive.
Yeah.
So there's a wide spectrum to that neuropathy,
and it
can compound some things. And one of the things, actually, if you have someone that says, hey, yeah, I don't normally feel my feet all that good, and they're sitting in your office telling you how much pain they're in, there's probably something going on.
So let's talk about your wound care again over in Monmouth. I said at Holy Family, you have a passionate team there of taking care of people's foot ulcers and wounds, and a high success rate too.
Yeah, so we're really proud of the wound care team. We've got a really good track record. We won our another award again for our excellence. We're what we call master casters, and what we mean by that is there's a technique in which we use it's called a total contact cast. It's a way to allow people to walk on their wounds and allow them to still heal. We're one of, I believe, 90 centers in the country that have actually achieved that certification.
Wow.
So it's a little bit cumbersome to have the cast. Again, I'm not gonna BS everybody, and those that have had the cast, I'm sure, are listening now are shaking their head, but they are very effective, and they really, really do help cut down on time to healing.
Yeah, and again, with the awards, with this unique approach to wound care, you go to OSF Wound Care Clinic, you've got a better chance of saving your foot.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We sure appreciate you and your mission partners and everything you do to help people's one of the most important parts of their body, right?
Absolutely.
And it's been a thrill for me.
Yeah, you'll get no argument from me.
I love all that. Yeah. Are you doing any of those videos like I see from podiatrists across the country? There's some of these that are like huge celebrities.
Yeah, no.
Getting millions of views on YouTube.
Oh, there's those TLC shows, all
yes.
that stuff, Tobro and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah, no.
Tobro, yes.
No one's come and approached me just yet. Yeah, so.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Got to start somewhere.
Put a GoPro on your forehead and
maybe something to think about.
Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.